Hello and welcome to the Brother Zulu Fine Podcast. Today we have Noah Nelson.
Hey, hey.
Yusuf Ibrahim.
What's up?
And my brother Lawrence Ajadi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Man,
it has been... It's Friday today. And guess what? I did one gig this week as well, and it feels good. Last night, me and Noah Nelson out in the town, in Bank, the Ned. I love it there, man.
Is this like Gigs Anonymous?
No. My new resolution was to be more positive about gigs, so I'm doing that right now. Positive vibes.
Yeah, that's true, good. Actually, after the gig. It was a better vibe. Although you were pretty quick to get off that stage. We're at the bottom of the tube station looking out for where the rest of the guys went. Oh, man, we got to get out of here.
No, I like getting home early. That's a treat, though, isn't it? Okay,
what time did you finish?
6 to 9.
6 to 9, baby.
6 to 9, nice.
Yeah,
what's a normal time for like functioning?
We're normally finished at like midnight. So
midnight in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
in the middle of nowhere, finding a service station or eating a cold Subway.
That sounds tough, man.
What about you now? What have you been doing, man?
Oh man, me and Lauren's been in the studio hard this week. I've been sat there keeping them company, listening in depth to your vocals for so many hours you don't even know.
Oh, you poor thing.
I think we spent 3 days straight of like, I don't know, six-hour sessions or so, just going in. But
how deep?
Yeah, man.
That's why I line up.
I'll tell you how deep we went. Right, we've got so many plugins going in on that stuff that we'll go in, do it. We'll have to switch to another project because there's too many different tracks going on. And then by the time we try to reopen a project, we'll spend the next half hour just sat there watching the computer freeze and freeze until Lawrence goes in and does some crazy coding voodoo to relabel all the files, right? Relabels all the files so the computer can't find them, tricks them into thinking that they're not there so that he can actually open the project, and then slowly has to go in and turn things off till we can actually get back in. It's like... Like, bigger than a bank heist.
He should have got a Mac. Lawrence has this thing where he refuses to buy any Mac product.
I'm going to put a bet on it, man. I'm going to put a bet. I'm going to say he's going to invest more on one more PC, and it's still going to fail. And then after that, once a little bit more money comes in, I think he's actually going to come to the dark side.
Nah. Why do you hate Macs so much? I don't hate Macs.
Like I have like iPads and stuff. I really like iPads for like things, especially just recording stuff like remotely as well. Like they've got these little sound toys on them.
Because it's iOS software.
No. No. I just think you get a better return on investment if you get like a PC. Especially just I can do loads more. Like I do loads of coding.
Why do they always seem to break though?
They don't. They really don't.
I like that your voice goes up there. I can tell you're full of shit.
Nah, but like, it's
Let me explain. Right.
Take it from me.
Explain yourself.
Go on, Yusuf.
Yeah, go on, Yusuf. Yeah.
I'm going to get so much hate mail over this, but you know.
Go for it, man. Whose side do you want? Before you go in.
Well, I mean, there are good, you know, benefits to both sides. With PC, you have multiple companies, multiple parties involved in getting the thing working. While Apple is obviously, you know, evil and they keep all their cards close to their chests, which means that they build everything. They build the hardware, the software, so they know, you know, the ins and outs of it a lot more. And when you have one party making both hardware and software, you get much more stable machines. You know,
my question for you is that as an engineer, though, would you not want to keep your cards close to your chest, keep the secrets tight?
Well, you know, you
demand high.
You want the ultimate goal is to push humanity forward, isn't it?
Very righteous. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, you know, you want to share the knowledge, you want to share the love. You know, it's not about, well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, but obviously, you got to make a living, you know.
Yeah. All like you, Lance. What's been going down?
I mean, being in the studio, I've been booked more sessions this weekend. Been listening to James Blake's new album came out.
You stole it from me.
When did that come out?
So James Blake's new album came out this morning at midnight.
Damn.
So I haven't got to listen to it yet, but I almost want to buy it physically before I listen to it. I've just been on this run recently of just wanting to buy loads of vinyl and CDs. And I'm torn between getting like a vinyl setup or a CD setup, because it's like the experience of listening to something, actually putting it in and not streaming it, being on a train. I started listening to the Jane Blake album on like Spotify and stuff, and it just wasn't the same. Like, it was just kind of, obviously I've listened to it, all the downloaded versions of all these like EPs beforehand and stuff, but I realised I'm not paying as much attention. You're kind of like waiting to get off at a stop, or you're on your phone, yeah, like messaging people and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, I actually want to be able to sit down in like a physical place and listen to stuff. And I really want to go down that line, like buying CD. Like, there's a new Swindle album, which can be banging. It's coming out, like, I think, 25th of January. And that's got like a load of pre-release of like physical copies. And I'm tending towards thinking now that I'd rather get the CD than,
yeah,
even if not a vinyl, because like, a CD's like, you know, a WAV, you can download it. But again, just for the fact you put it into like a physical thing, I listened to it back. So I've been on that hype recently.
So yeah, I didn't think I bought into the whole vinyl hype for a long time, and then I got my top 10 favorite albums on vinyl because I was curious to see if I could. Because those ones I know like the back of my hand. I was like, let's see if I can really notice the difference. I remember I put on D'Angelo's Voodoo, which I know a bit too well, and it went into like halfway through the first track and I was hearing things differently. And that wasn't just my mind playing games, I could actually hear it. So I think vinyl's the way, if you can.
I think so. I mean, because in terms of it's like the quality differences are there. And I remember the first time I listened to a track on vinyl, I think it was like a George Benson Benson song. And you're sitting there and stuff, I would never have focused on all the elements, and it was really warm and it was really interesting. And it also felt crafted, like, you know, this needle's going around in a circle, and it's reacting to kind of grooves in something, and it's playing that directly back to you.
Yeah.
Well, the digital one is more like, you know, those are ones and zeros. It's in this, you know, imaginary, well, not imaginary domain, but it's not tangible.
And if you get a CD player, you got to get the Walkman, you got to go old school nine. You got to invest a little bit more than usual, because the thing is, you can't just get the plain one, you got to get the one that's anti-skip. I remember being a kid way back in the day, walking down the road, and then CD starts skipping because you take like one heavy step and then it's lost its spot. It's reading it the wrong mechanical.
I don't know what Walkman you're using, mate.
See, I remember going from cassette to tape, and that was a big deal. I remember the get this, bro. I remember. See, I'm not retro. That old, but I remember the circus came to town, right? And under the big top circus, they were selling Walkman with the CD, and that was when I was like, oh man, I gotta make it happen. Scrounged all the money together, took myself down to the circus big top tent myself, bought this CD player from these carnies, and that was it. Moving into the CD world.
Damn.
Well, there's not much difference between CD and you know, digital streaming, because it's the same format. You know, still it's digital still. Well, vinyl is actually.
But that's the thing, though. It's
kind of like, you know what I mean?
It's not the same. So, like, CDs are like, what, 44.1, 16-bit WAVs. Mm. You're not streaming that. But, I mean, we will eventually.
I mean, like, digital versus analog.
But that's my argument. I think for a lot of classic records, I'd want to get, like, vinyls of them. But I think records which have been almost produced digitally, and they're actually going through a digital system.
Anyway, yeah, it is still digital.
It's still digital. So they're literally not bouncing a digital. Same, like, in certain cases, bouncing a digital version out and then recording the analog version onto, like, using, you know, pressing that onto a vinyl, which is you've essentially gone digital to analog again. Yeah.
They've also got different mixes going on, to be fair. Like, there's this one vinyl I've got my eye on at the minute. It's like almost £50, so I've not got it yet. But it's Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, which is like a seminal album. Yeah. But they've got a Detroit mix up on eBay, which is meant to be like the original mix, but then the mix has changed, so the mix that we've all probably heard online is not the original Detroit mix. I'm really interested to hear the mix, how he wanted it to sound versus what it became eventually.
That would be cool.
So you've got things like that I think are only on vinyl.
I think that's the thing, because I think for me, like, the number one priority is more just the actual having something physically that you have to put somewhere. And even the action, even if it was CD or vinyl, you're still going to get a better experience.
And the artwork, the credits, the personnel, the lyrics, all that stuff just disappears, man.
I think so,
My wife and I were discussing that the other day, actually. How people used to sort of sit down and make a thing out of listening to music, but now it's like a, you know, it's like you're consuming it.
That's true, man. Yeah. That's why there's so much stuff music, that just gets pumped out.
Yeah, and it's just background, you know?
Can you hear that in the background? Yeah. Someone's car being robbed.
Sounds like dubstep to me.
I love we're just sitting here, just letting it happen. So Yusuf, what have you been doing?
A little bit of a departure from your musical minds.
Cleaning stuff.
It's not dirty being musical, you know. It's dirty in a sense, but you know. Now I've been working on this new instrument I'm building for a band called Vanishing Twin, they've asked for essentially a vinyl like player on stage, but it's like a massive vinyl, you know, it's like a meter long vinyl that you just sort of spin on stage, and it plays it's kind of like a drum machine, and I've been holed up in my workshop building that thing for them. Damn. And
do you have a name for it?
Not really, actually. I've been trying to name it, but all the names I've been coming up with have been sticky, you know what I mean? Yeah. Been shitty. I can't I'm not a marketeer, you know.
I think most names are bad till it becomes a thing and then you don't question
exactly
it.
Yeah, so no matter how shitty a name is, I guess it sticks, you know. I mean, but, you know, if you guys have any ideas.
You literally are the guy that can build anything. Maybe that's the thing. If people want to write in and suggest something for you to build, maybe that could be a quite fun thing to do.
Yeah, that's what I'd love to do.
Yeah, just, if you want to Yusuf to build anything, just let us know. He can.
I think keep it musical.
Yeah. We're already complaining in that.
I'm not gonna build like a, you know, like a self flushing toilet or something, yeah. Well, that exists.
That exists. That exists. Yeah.
Like an ass wiper.
I think that's called a bidet.
Yeah. Invented by the French.
An advanced bidet. He comes with angles. Like robotic arms.
Smart bidet.
I know a couple of people with that job.
But yeah, I'm open for ideas, you know. Just you can reach me on, you know, you can't really reach me, actually. I'm not reachable, but, you know, Brother Zulu. that's my gateway.
So your gateway?
Like my gateway. Gateway drug into, you know, becoming a better musician.
Right, so let's move on then. So let's talk about real music right now. So, we mentioned James Blake, but now what, you know, you said something cool earlier now. What are you going to listen to?
Oh, man. So I had this old school throwback in mind that I was keen to share, but that one's going to have to wait because you know what? Went in the car, opened up Spotify. Spotify said, you got new music. I pulled up the profile. So our boy James Blake put it on through his hard speakers. Perfect timing. Oh, man. I was expecting to dig on it, but it really just hit me in the right spot. I didn't really get my sleep last night in a funny place. And you know when something comes on, it just kind of gets under your skin and you're like, oh, man, that was serious. And it was like James Blake in 2019, you know? Like, it had a bit of a different vibe to it, but it still had, like, signature things. He's got that cool thing where, like, he's got, like, certain juicy synth sounds where it's like, and that sounds like James Blake. Yeah. I could hear just that synth sound, you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's him. What, but then he had some cool features going on. He had all this weird stuff going on where, like, the voice would be him and then modulate, like, higher and higher until it became, like, a weird, almost, like, sharky-esque vibe. It's like,
oh, damn.
Cool stuff, okay, man. But yeah. I got about halfway through. I'm keen to finish it off today. But, yeah, that did something for me, man. So that's the one.
I mean, what features have you got on there? I mean,
I've got Travis Scott's on there. Andre 3000 on it, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's getting stuck into that world. Well, I mean, I had a brief listen to it before I kind of changed my mind and thought about the CD route and stuff. But it sounds a lot happier because, like, I've been a massive Jane Blake fan from CMYK, and, like, every single release since. I mean, it's been very much like a kind of very melancholy sound constantly. Mm. Kind of, it always, like, kind of been there, and this one almost sounds like I don't know. Like, I don't want
to
read.
Got a little bit more tempo to it, I think, kind of helps.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say tempo because, like, he did that stuff at the beginning. I'd say it's more kind of like there's a lot more like warmth or like romanticism in it. Mm. I can't put like a finger on it. I don't want to sound like an arsehole, but it's like even in the hour, it feels a lot warmer than any of his other stuff.
Maybe he's happier.
Yeah, that was like, I remember seeing a Guardian article, like, my phone, Google told me all about, like, his stuff you might like, and it's like, oh yeah, a Guardian
Jim
article.
Jim Blake falling in love.
Yeah, literally, no joke, literally, that was literally it. It's like, you're like literally spot on.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to checking it out. I'm glad it sounds as good.
He's got a tour coming up as well soon, I think. saw you responded to his Hammersmith event.
Yeah,
I'll go peep it.
You mark yourself as safe.
Safe.
These ears are safe after this.
Safe.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you want to find out more about us, we're on social media, on Instagram, Facebook. We got our first headline show of the year on March 12th at the Constitution in Camden. You can buy tickets on brotherszulu.com. And also, our first single of the year is going to be released on the 15th, which is called...
Ah!
Goddamn.